God bless Texas. God bless Texas.
I've been sent to spread the message.
God bless Texas.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first polls after former President Trump's conviction on 34 criminal counts show a near 50-50 opinion split, says ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
47% say they think the charges against the former president were politically motivated. 38% say they were not. This in a new ABC News Ipsos poll. 52% of non-affiliated folks think Mr. Trump's verdict was correct, and the same number say he should end his candidacy.
A state of emergency in Atlanta, where crews are working to fully restore water service after several water main breaks. There is tight security expected today in New York City for the Israel Day parade, while authorities in suburban Pittsburgh say two people are dead, seven others were hurt in a shooting at a bar in Penn Hills. The county police department did not say if anyone's in custody. And a wildfire in San Joaquin County, California, has led to expanded evacuation areas. Two firefighters were hurt. This is ABC News. A shooting on Arizona's Gila River Community Reservation leaves two people, including a police officer, dead. A total of six were shot.
Two Gila River police officers responding to a domestic call at a home on the reservation where they found a large crowd. As they worked to resolve the situation, someone opened fire. Both officers and four others were shot and transported to a local hospital. Officer Joshua Breese dying of his injuries. He was with the force less than a year and still in training. The second officer in serious but stable condition. Gila River Police and the FBI are investigating the shooting. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Next opportunity to send two astronauts to space on Boeing's Starliner space capsule will come on Wednesday after the latest attempt on Saturday was scrubbed with less than 4 minutes to go in the countdown.
I know it's a little disappointing. We were all excited. Butch and Sonny were excited to go fly. This is kind of the way spaceflight is.
That's NASA's Steve Stitch. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of TVC or crispy chicken sandwich with four-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Are you having a party or event and need a place to rent? Well, why not try the Riverview Community and Senior Center in Durand? That's right. The Riverview Community Center is available to rent for individuals or groups. The center has a kitchen, tables, and chairs that you can use for your event. There's parking for your guests, and the cost is very affordable. A minimum of 2 hours is required. Call 672-4101 for availability. The Riverview Community and Senior Center, 606 West Madison Street, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have a little fog, then we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Southeast to southerly winds and highs warming to the lower 80s. Chances of showers and storms rolling in for Sunday night. Some of the rain could be locally heavy. Lows in the low to mid-60s. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. Right now, it's 61.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
I used to come home late, not a minute too soon. Barking like a dog, howling at the moon. You'd be mad as a no-wit hen. Up all night, wondering where I'd been. I'd fall down and say, come help me, honey. You laughed out loud, I guess you thought it was funny. But I sobered up, I got to thinking, girl, you ain't much fun since I quit drinking. Now I'm painting the house and I'm mending the fence. I guess I've gone and lost all my good sense. Too much work, it's hard for your health. I could have died drinking, now I'm killing myself. And I'm feeding the dog, sacking the trash. It's honey do this, honey do that. I sobered up and I got to thinking, girl, it ain't much fun since I quit drinking. Busting my wheel, all broke down, tailspin dragging. It's a rough old life up here on the wagon. I'm feeding the dog, sacking the trash. It's honey do this, honey do that. I sobered up and I got to thinking, girl, you ain't much fun since I quit drinking. Yeah, I sobered up and I got to thinking, girl, you ain't much fun since I quit drinking.
You ain't much fun, Toby Keith on your radio, and it's Andrew J. I'm trying my best to be fun. This year. It's still fairly early, though. We'll get there. Chris Young is Young Love Saturday Nights.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run, and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree that's no good for nothing, no commas in his bank account. But there's a girl at the hole in the wall where he plays. Don't take her eyes off the stage, she loves his southern drawl from north of Atlanta. That Silverado he got parked outside, loves her cranking 89 Alabama, kissing boys. Young love and Saturday nights. Saturday nights. As long as pawn shops sell beat up guitars to a kid with some hand-me-down keys. As long as leather jackets keep stealing hearts like Elvis and Cash and James Dean. There'll be a girl at the hole. For an hour in the parking lot, light. trucks, young love and Saturday nights.
Someone you know about us. We're Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Glared me over her coffee cup. She said, "Where you been?" So I thought real hard and said, "I fell asleep in that hammock in the yard." She said, "You don't know it, boy, but you just blew it." And I said, "Well, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness and I can't prove it, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it." I got that deer in the headlight look. She read my face like the cover of a book and said, "Don't expect me to believe all that static, 'cause just last week I threw that hammock in the attic. My skin got so thin you can see right through it." And I stuttered, "Well, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. That's my story.
That's my story.
Whoa, that's my story.
That's my story.
Yeah, I ain't got a witness and I can't prove it, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it." You know, the time comes when a wise man knows the best thing that he can do is just look her in the eye and beg for mercy and face the bitter truth. Well, honey, me and the boys played cards all night. There wasn't no hanky-panky, not a woman in sight. I know I should have called, and baby, I'm real sorry. Let's get a cellular phone and then you won't have to worry. You know how much I love you, darling, I'm ready to prove it. And that's my story and I'm sticking to it. That's my story.
That's my story.
Well, that's my story.
That's my story.
Well, I ain't got a witness and you know I can't prove it. But that's my story and man, I'm sticking to it. You know I ain't gonna do a thing, darling, unless you approve it. Well, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Shop locally. Listen locally. Real Country. 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
We were sitting up there on your mama's roof, talking about everything under the moon, with a smell of honeysuckle and your perfume. All I could think about was my next move. Oh, but you were so shy, so was I. Maybe that's why it was so hard to believe when you smiled and said to me, "Are you gonna kiss me all night? Are we gonna do this all night? I think you know I like you a lot, but you're about to miss your shot. Are you gonna kiss me all night?" Dang kiss that I ever had, except for that long one after that. And I knew if I wanted this thing to last, sooner or later I'd have to ask for your hand. So I took a chance, bought a wedding band, and got down on one knee. And you smiled and said to me, "Are you gonna kiss me all night? saw your pretty smile, and I said, are you gonna kiss me or not? Look at all the love that we got. It ain't never gonna stop. Are you gonna kiss me or not? Yeah, baby, I love you a lot. I really think we got a shot. Are you gonna kiss me or not?
It's great to have you in. How is your weekend treating? Hopefully you're having a good one so far. Stick around. John Michael Montgomery coming your way. Chris Stapleton as well.
Together, we're living in a smart rural community. A smart rural community is connected by a fiber optic broadband network for economic development, education, healthcare, government services, security, and more. 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom is a small local company with a big vision to develop and maintain a fiber optic broadband network that connects smart rural communities from the ground up. To learn more about smart rural communities, visit 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom online at wwt.net.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Real Country.
Sing along.
You know the words. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Off of my feet. I'm not a man of many words, so I'll make this short and sweet.
Could you, would you, ain't you gonna, if I ask you, would you wanna be my baby tonight?
Yeah, take a chance, slow dance, make a little romance, honey, it'll be alright.
Girl, you got me wishing we were hugging and a kissing and a holding each other tight. So could you, if I ask you, would you wanna be my baby tonight? I'm not trying to come on like some rhinestone Romeo. I'm looking for a whole lot more than a one-night rodeo. What can I do to prove to you I'm laying it on the line? I'll even get down. Beg you one more time. Yeah, could you, would you, ain't you gonna, if I ask you, would you wanna be my baby tonight?
Yeah, take a chance, slow dance, make a little romance, honey, it'll be alright.
Girl, you got me wishing we were hugging and a kissing and a holding each other tight.
So could you, would you, ain't you gonna, if I ask you, would you wanna be my baby tonight?
Country music you grew up with. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
I saw Star Wars at least 8 times, had the Pac-Man pattern memorized. I've seen the stuff they put inside Stretch Armstrong, yeah. Well, I was Roger Staubach in my backyard. Had a shoebox full of baseball cards and a couple of Evel Knievel scars on my right arm. Well, I was a kid when Elvis died and my mama cried. It was 1970-something in the world that I grew up in. Farrah Fawcett hairdo days, bell bottoms and 8-track tapes. And looking back now, I can see me. Oh man, did I look cheesy. But I wouldn't trade those days for nothing. Oh, it was 1970-something. Was the dawning of a new decade. We got our first microwave. Dad broke down and finally shaved the most sideburns off. I took the stickers off of my Rubik's Cube. Watched MTV all afternoon. And my first love was Daisy Duke and them cut-off jeans. The space shuttle fell out of the sky and the whole world cried. In the world that I grew up in, skating rinks and black Trans Ams, big hair and parachute pants, and
Looking back now, I can see me. Oh man, did I look cheesy. I wouldn't trade those days for nothing. Oh, it was 1980-something. Now I got a mortgage and an SUV, but all this responsibility makes me wish sometimes. It was 1980-something in the world that I grew up in. Skating rinks and black Trans Ams, big hair and parachute pants. And looking back now, I can see me. Oh man, did I look cheesy. I wouldn't trade those days for nothing. Oh, it was 1980-something.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Duran.
Good morning to our WRDN radio audience. We're taking our Bibles now at First Baptist of Duran and turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read the verse. If you have a Bible available, follow along. Paul writes, Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Father, thank you for the instructions that you gave to Timothy, because they have been passed on to us. And as Timothy used them faithfully, help us to apply them to our lives faithfully. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, these are very important words, because this is Paul's last letter to Timothy before he would offer himself as a martyr for the cause of Christ. But before we push ahead any further here, we want to talk a little bit about this man Timothy. He's mentioned some 27 different times in the New Testament. Paul had led him to Christ during his first missionary journey in Acts chapter 16. And then when he returned on a second missionary journey, and a little bit later in that same chapter, he chose Timothy to accompany him on his travels. And he became not only a disciple of Paul, but a friend of Paul, and was a terrific accomplice to Paul throughout all of Paul's life. He ministered in Berea, he ministered in Athens, he ministered in Corinth, and then he went with Paul to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20. He was oftentimes a representative of Paul to different churches. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, we see that Paul left him in the city of Ephesus to pastor that flock, and that had been started several years prior by a godly couple by the name of Priscilla and Aquila. False teaching had infiltrated the church at Ephesus, and he charged Timothy to refute it and to keep the church headed in the right direction. In Hebrews chapter 13, Timothy is mentioned as one who had just been released from prison, so he had suffered for the cause of Christ as many other first century believers had. And then according to tradition, some 25 years after Paul was martyred, which was in either 68 or 69 AD, Timothy also was martyred for the cause of Christ. Now, the final instructions that he leaves Timothy here in this last letter, he says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We need strength to live for Christ. We need strength to serve Christ. And where is that strength found? Well, he says right here, it's found in the person of Jesus Christ, specifically in the grace of Christ. You know, when Paul opened up his, when John began his gospel, he talks immediately about Jesus Christ, and then he also talks about Christ's grace. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then in verse 16, "And of His fullness have all we received, in grace for grace." And then in verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ and the term grace are inseparably connected. And so as Paul writes Timothy, he says, "Timothy, this is exceedingly important. I'm not going to be with you. I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, just a first glance or a first reading of this passage of Scripture might make us think that, well, what do I need to do in order to have this grace? Well, I need to lie helpless before God and let His strength flow into me. Well, that's an erroneous idea of how to obtain God's strength. That's an erroneous idea of how to obtain God's grace. Because as we interpret this verse with other verses that are given to us, we find that we need to avail ourselves of every opportunity God offers us to be strengthened. How does that happen? "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." Acts chapter 20. Prayer. We access the strength and the promises of God through our petitions. Fasting. This kind can come out, but only by fasting and prayer, Jesus said. By counsel of godly friends. Remembrance of past blessings that God has given to us. By obedience, we obtain God's grace. We obtain God's favor. So, this is not a passive event. This is something where we actively are seeking God's strength. And we know we find it in the person of His Son. And we know the reason why we find it is because God gives us unmerited favor. It's called grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. So, here's the question that we want to answer in the few minutes that we're together is, why should Timothy pay close attention to this command? And that answer is going to provide the reason for our study this morning. So we're going to go back to chapter 1 here. Why, Timothy, should you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus Christ? Verse 5, he says, 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, "Paul, Timothy, I recall to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." When Paul thought about Timothy, he thought about his unfeigned faith. And that means his sincere faith, his genuine faith. You know, back in Jeremiah chapter 7, don't turn there, but just listen as I read, as Jeremiah ministered to people who were religious but really did not have a sincere faith in God. Jeremiah said to the people, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? Will you come and stand before me in this house, the temple which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations'? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, and saith the Lord." And then he says, "You will come and stand before me and worship me despite all these sins with now any repentance." Timothy didn't have that kind of faith. He had an unfeigned faith. He had a genuine faith. He had a sincere faith. You know, in the Middle Ages, there was an early form of chemistry called alchemy. And that science, and I use that term lightly, was associated with philosophy and magic. And it had two goals: to change cheap metals, such as iron, tin, and lead, into gold. And some of you remember the story of Rumpelstiltskin. We're not going to take time to go through it, but that was based on the understanding of alchemists back in the Middle Ages. So they were going to change metals, cheap metals, into gold. And then the other thing was to find an elixir or a powder or a formula that could provide an individual with perpetual youth. Now, the story is told that Leo, Pope Leo, at that time, he was on the throne of Rome from 1513 to 1521. He had an alchemist come into his court, claiming he could turn all of Leo's baser metals into gold. And Leo listened intently to the alchemist, and the alchemist expected the Pope to give him a large sum of money for his discovery. But instead of giving him a large sum of money, Pope Leo gave him a large bag so he could put all his gold into that bag. I'm not Roman Catholic. My mother was, and I have a lot of friends that are Roman Catholics. But I have to say, Leo was not a simpleton. And our God is not a simpleton either. And he can tell the true from the false. And the Bible says here that Timothy really connected with God, and he had a relationship with God. He had unfeigned faith. And because of that, he needed to access the strength of God. You might know the Lord, you might walk with the Lord, but you continually need to access his strength through Christ's grace. You know, it's not over when you just come to Christ. That's just the beginning. So he says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Second of all, he tells us here, Timothy, you need to access this grace and you need to be strong because of your godly heritage. He says in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Grandmother Lois, mother Eunice. You know, there's been many a Mother's Day sermon preached on these two ladies. Did you know that this is the only time that they are mentioned in the Bible? But they were true Jewish believers who went to synagogue, who understood what their rabbis taught them. They lived in what is called the diaspora. They did not live in Israel. But they listened as the rabbi spoke of a coming Messiah. And they prepared themselves and they prepared Timothy for this one who was to come. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that these ladies took the Bible, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, Paul said to Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. In other words, they used Torah to teach Timothy the ABCs, how to read. What a godly heritage he had. And then when Paul and Barnabas came through to Lystra and told them about the Messiah, Eunice and Lois accepted the Lord, and their example, Timothy followed, and he too believed that Jesus is the Messiah as set forth by the Apostle Paul in the synagogue. And they lived devout lives. And what an example they were to Timothy, the grandson and son. And it's interesting here that Eunice, I already mentioned that she appears just this time in the New Testament. It's believed that she was already a widow when Paul came on that first missionary journey and explained the gospel. But later, in Paul's walk with God and in Paul's service for God, Paul wrote the first letter to Timothy. And he wrote a chapter, chapter 5 of that first letter, and it deals with what subject? The subject of widows. And how that must have touched Timothy's heart. How to treat widows in the house of God. Timothy had a godly heritage. And because of that, he was told to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus Because we've been given something doesn't mean that we need to take it for granted that we're good to go. It means that we have all the more reason to pursue and fervently seek our Lord. And then, too, the Bible tells us here, here's another reason why he needed to stir up himself, and I need to move very quickly here. Verse 6, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now, I know I have charismatic listeners that are perhaps on the radio here, and I know that we have some differences concerning the gifts of the Spirit, but I believe there are three things that we can agree on. Each believer has been given a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man." Everybody has a spiritual gift. This is besides eternal life. Number two, we can agree on this, that each gift is to help our fellow believers. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all." And then number three, I believe that we can agree that each gift is to be exercised in a spirit of love. Because 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 are set before and after the love chapter of the Bible, with humility and grace and gentleness. I believe that Timothy had the gift to be a pastor teacher. We already alluded to the fact that he was left with the responsibility of caring for the flock there in Ephesus. But you know, there were older men in that church, and some had swerved away from God. They were given attention to endless genealogies, old wives' fables, and other types of thoughts concerning God. Gnosticism was in embryo form. And Paul told Timothy, he charged him that no other doctrine would be taught than what he had received. And these older men must have resented this young Timothy as the pastor. They must not have appreciated his words. And so Paul says to Timothy, "You are the pastor. You need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, Timothy. And God will see you through it." And he did. And that church in Ephesus came a very flourishing church. The fourth reason why he needed to be strong, and why you need to be strong in Christ Jesus, is because God did not give us a spirit of fear. It says here in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Hey, just think about that Bible verse when you are a little reticent about sharing the gospel with someone. Think about that Bible verse when you think, I'm not sure I want to bring up the name of God to that person. The word for fear here is not phobia, it's delios. It actually means a spirit of cowardice. And what we're told right here is that, Timothy, you need to have God's strength in order to be that witness. And remember what Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and under the other parts of the earth." You know, fear is an agitation. It's an anxiety because we sense some kind of danger that is near or present or some kind of pain. And the 18th century Bible commentator by the name of Trench said this: "The word is always used in a bad sense." Always used in a bad sense. And it is incompatible with the Spirit of God who now dwells within us. I'm going to jump back a dispensation or two, but it's still true. Micah 3:8, the Old Testament prophet said, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." You know, even our Savior, prophetically in Isaiah chapter 61, it was said that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And David knew about the strength of God. He said in Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear, or of who should I be afraid?" Lord Wolseley was a decorated English officer in His Majesty's service. And he wrote a booklet years ago called The Soldier's Pocket Book. And in it, he says that if a young officer wishes to succeed, he must volunteer for the most hazardous duties and take every possible chance of risking his life. Well, that's not exactly what Paul is saying right here. But he's saying if you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you've got to exhibit courage. God has not given us a spirit of fear. In fact, in verse 3, he says of 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I want you to flip back with me two or three centuries. There is a Scottish philosopher, a writer, a diplomat from Edinburgh, England. And his name was David Hume, and he was an agnostic. That is, he questioned the existence of God. He said the person of God and his existence could not be proved. He said that immortality is nothing more than wishful thinking. Now, skip down with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "But now God, through Jesus Christ, is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Jesus Christ has brought immortality to light. He has shown us how to have immortality. And you're not being boastful, you're not being arrogant if you say you are immortal. You are immortal if you have received Christ as your Savior. Now, David Hume said, immortality is nothing more than wishful thinking. That's all he said it was. But our Savior said this in John chapter 14, verse 19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." It says in Titus chapter 1, "Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie has promised before the world began." How about 1 John chapter 5? "And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe or continue to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." David Hume said, eternal life, immortality. Oh, that's wishful thinking. Man, if he had just read the Bible, he would have seen that the one who lived the most perfect life ever spoke with authority about eternal life. And that life is found in him. And that's why we need to be strong. We need to remember that our days are not going to finish prematurely until God says, your ministry is over and I'm taking you home. You have eternal life, and I have eternal life. And there's a boldness that comes from that. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then I want you to see something else in verse 11 and 12. Here's another reason why he should be strong. He says in verse 11, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." You see, the sixth reason why he should be strong in the grace of Christ is because he had Paul's example of how to face hardships. We don't have time, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there are 20 different hardships that Paul listed that he had experienced. Shipwrecked twice, stoned, beaten, accosted by robbers, fastings, hunger, thirst, nakedness, cold. Timothy, you have seen my life. That's what Paul was saying to this young man. And as you follow me, there are hardships connected with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why you need to stir yourself up. You need to access the strength that God offers to us daily through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy from prison in Rome. He was rearrested as part of Nero's persecution of Christians. In his first imprisonment, which was in 60 to 62 AD, he was only under house arrest and had opportunity to interact with people who visited him. But now in his second arrest, 5 or 6 years later, he was in a cold cell and in chains. And consequently, he had that life to show Timothy. He had an example for Timothy. But he says, you know, in order to endure those hardships, you have to access the grace of Jesus Christ, and you have to have His strength. Number 7, very quickly here. Another reason he should stir himself up and have this strength is because he had sound Bible teaching. Sound Bible teaching. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That word sound is used frequently in Paul's pastoral epistles, and it refers to truth that produces spiritual well-being. You want to be careful what you hear, you want to be careful what you watch, and you want to be careful what you read. You want sound teaching, truth that is going to produce a healthy spiritual walk with God. You know, they say an army marches on its stomach. You've heard that before, right? We're in the army. We're in God's army. And we march on our stomach. That is, by what we put into it. The meat of God's word, the bread of God's word, even the milk of God's word. That is what keeps us going. Because he had sound Bible teaching. And then, number eight, another reason, be strong, my son, that is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, is because he was entrusted with the gospel. He says in verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And that word keep means provide safe custody for it, protect it. And we need the strength of God, we need the discernment of God to recall what the basics are of a relationship to God. And we need not to allow people into our life that are going to change that message, because that message has been entrusted to us. You talk to most people today, and you ask them, well, what does it take to have eternal life? They don't have a clue. Some, most, frequently we'll say, just live a good life. And you and I know that there's nothing further from the truth, because if a good life could get us to heaven, it would have been pointless for Jesus Christ to die. We have been entrusted with the gospel as Timothy had. And then, note with me if you would in verse 15, another reason to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia... Now, we're not talking about Japan or Vietnam. We're talking about Western Turkey, which is a province of the Roman Empire in the first century. He says, this now thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. We don't know too much about these two men. Apparently, they were believers at one time, or professed faith in Christ, but they had deserted the work of God. They had turned away from Timothy, especially from Paul, when he needed him, when he was in prison, when he was suffering for the cause of Christ. You know, you hear about people defecting. I know I've sat with fellow students in seminary class, and after a number of years have gone by, unfortunately, I say, not all of them are in the ministry. Not all of them are continuing in the things that I learned and they learned from the same professors. And it has a depressing effect. And if we're not careful, we can put our eyes on people instead of on the Lord. And you and I know people always fail. But Jesus Christ never does. And so what keeps us going when we see others turning away? It's the strength of God that is found in Jesus Christ. And we need to continually avail ourselves of that strength to keep us going. And then last of all right here, some have risked all to help them. That's the 10th reason why he should have this strength. He says in verses 16 through 18, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me." Let me close with this very quickly. We're out of time here. Robert and Mary Moffat were 19th century missionaries from England to Africa. They ministered to the tribes in the bush, and during their work in the field, everyone experienced a drought. Water sources dried up, crops failed, animals died, and the witch doctors of the Bukana tribe, who were also rainmakers, told their chief that the Moffats were the reason for the drought. And in his diary, Robert Moffat said this: "The Bukana chief showed up at my hut with 12 spears, that is 12 spearmen, and he told me if I didn't leave the territory, they'd kill me and my wife." And Moffat said this, he said, "You may shed my blood, but you may burn my dwelling, but my decision is made. I do not leave your country." He didn't. And he went on, and he had a very, very successful ministry. Why? Because he was strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're out of time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We need you. And we ask God that we would